Hello. As the first thing, I need to say thank you to Confidence Organizer because they were so kind and so sweet to me. I feel home here in Krakow. And I was so happy to accept their invite because of the colors of the conference that permit me to use my favorite template and to dress as my slides. And this is important for me. Well, I usually talk about security because it's my work. I do security 20 hours a day. But security is not, I work for a company that is an Italian company, but work all across the Europe. But security is not only something that permit me to receive some money at the end of the month, but is something so important for me that I use all my free time in a bunch of non-profit organizations that are very different between them, but whose common aim is to create awareness about problems. Technology must help us, must make our lives simpler, but we must be aware of risks and afford them before they turn into a problem. Who reads some security mailing list maybe know me as Mayhem and not as Alessio. Obviously, I need to think someone that helped me in writing this information. Alone, no one can do nothing. And information sharing is very important for me. And all information I will present you is the a result of a working group. A working group that usually use Unix products. Apple realized that turning to a different architecture, a different operating system was important, and we appreciate a lot their works. I'm not an Apple fan. I use their tools because I found are useful for me, but our tools. And being a Unix, there is the opportunity to create a lot of security on our computers. It's true on your own laptop or home computer, it's true on a network or on a server. All the information I'll show you are a mix of informations that can be used in different contexts. Anyone can choose which one is their useful information. And I also thought that Mac OS X is thought its graphical interface to be very simple for end users. So I tried also to take in consideration simple application that can be used even by not so strong technical people. So when I talk about security, I'm obviously not talking about enabling a screensaver and having a password to unlock to lock your PC so no one can gain root while you are in the toilet, nor about disabling autologon because you don't want that if you lose your laptop in the airport, someone open and are logged in as you. Nor about a new feature that was introduced in the last version of the operating system, Leopard, that permit you to have only your remote control working with your laptop. Before this, the fun game was being at conferences, crowded of people, and go around with a remote control and do things on other people's computers. It was working. Now it can be fixed. And I will not talk about Mac OS X will never have virus or something like that. My opinion is not important. It's not the topic of the talk. But for example, I will take in consideration some tools that are present on the operating system to help us do something. For example, talking about Exploit, Apple introduced this feature. It's important to notice that we are facing a lot of mature code nowadays. Some enterprise programs are very mature, and probably we will not have to face on those products emergency like happened in the past of a new exploit for SSH and run to fix all machine while people are owning them. But obviously have something that can prevent exploiting is of course useful. I don't know if this technology is working so well, if it will be able to stop all exploiting tries, but obviously having it is okay. It's important to have something that help mitigate it. Future will tell us if this is a good solution, if it's the solution, or it's only something that mitigate that. But I don't want to trust only the solution to protect what can happen on my laptop. So I prefer to use other mechanisms. For example, sandboxes. Sandboxing an application means that you are trying to create a playground for your application so you can focus on what you are doing and not have to think what is happening behind. Some malware is arriving through my browser, for example, because I think that I need a browser to go on internet. I know I have some risks doing that. I know that through my browser something can be done on my computer, and I would like to avoid this. Sandboxing permit me to impose some policy to limitate the access, the authorization that any application have on my system. It's important talking about end user application. It's particularly important when talking about services, daemons that are running on my server. And this kind of feature is integrated in the operating system. You have a very exhaustive man page that will teach you how to use this feature. And it's based on a rule set that imposes some policy to each application. You have some template still present in the default installation, but a lot of template can be downloaded from internet, or you can write your own. I like this solution because the syntax to compile the policy file is simple. If you are able to write a regexp, you can customize the environment for your application to prevent something bad happening. To prevent application, use more resources, files, disk area, memory area than what is needed. But obviously, you need to have this rule set as simple as possible. So we can integrate such feature with other feature that belongs to the operating system. Everyone know that the file system used by macOS X is HFS Plus, that provides journaling, provide access lists as any Unix, but also provide extended attributes by default. You don't need any patch. And if we are used to manage such kind of permission, we have a more flexible way to manage permission. In this way, authorizing groups, users, and so on, to make some specific action or to deny specific action, and we have all flags to works on these parameters. And also syntax is simple. We use chmod as usual on Unix, and we have the possibility to add, to delete, and so on. Capabilities to single files, single directories, and so on to any file. This is okay if you are on your own laptop and you are trying to prevent some application to do something, to prevent the user that is running some daemon to do something. And so it's so important in a server environment, for example, if you are managing a lot of daemons or a lot of users on the same file system, can be very flexible and excuse me, and of course useful. Imposing some policy is important, help us to prevent something to happen, but is also important to know if something happened, to monitor what is happening or what will happen on our Mac. Both from a security point of view and also from a performance point of view, often is useful during the debug of an application or investigating about a problem. Being able to understand how an application works, which files are accessed or modified, which processes are forked, and how child act is very important. Let's not talk about network activities. Network activities is simple. If you want, we have TCPDAMP, we have Wireshark, and so we have a bunch of tools that are able to analyze network traffic. But maybe we want to analyze the traffic of a single application or the disk I/O of a single application to better understand that application and not the whole system. On many operating systems, we are Linux in particular, we are used about using Strace. The first time I was in need to run something like Strace on my Mac was in difficult because Strace is not present, but exists another utility that is called DTrust that do the same. DTrust work exactly in the same manner. You tell DTrust which application to monitor, but the important thing that in my opinion is very useful is the ability to attach the monitor to an already running process and understand what is doing. I can show you how it works on a screencast. I often mistype what I'm trying to write. So you have the output and to understand which syscall are called, which file are accessed, which network ports are open, closed, and so on. And this is about a new application. Or I can attach myself to a running application like Finder that is the default shell of window manager, this window. As you see, I will use Finder and it's monitored what is happening meanwhile. And with DTrust, we have also another utility that is called DTrace, that is based on some profile of things to monitor. This tool is also present on, was born on Solaris and was ported to macOS 6. So on this site, you can find a lot of template of things to monitor. Because, for example, I want to know both from a performance aspect, both from a file name aspect, an application, how is using the disk, how much, for example, think about the database, how much disk I/O is doing this application, maybe for some tuning. As you see, we are talking about command line application. As usual, having something guide-based could be not such flexible in some context, but could be very simpler and useful when you are doing something very basic. And instrument is not present in the default installation. You need to install the developer tools that give you the compiler and the debug tools. We'll do the same with a graphical guide that is very powerful. You find it on your disk inside the developer tools installation in the application directory. When you launch it, it asks you what are you trying to monitor. And for example, activity is always useful. Then if you start record what to monitor, so a new application or a running process, when recording it, you will have the graphical feedback of what is happening in the window, but also some statistic in that window that help understand also how that application is modifying the system way of responding. From the point of view of hardening of monitor processing and so on, it is important to understand which are the default processes, the processes that are from operating system, the processes that are application or installed by me. So having this list that is always updated and very well done is useful when you find a process that you don't know, to identify if it's something of the default operating system or something else that was installed by you, or I hope not, by someone else. Obviously, talking about security will prevent me not talking about firewall. In the previous release of macOS 6 on Tiger, we had a porting of IPFW from the BSD projects that can process traffic, have that syntax that we are very used to use, and that it's simple for a technical guy, but for a normal user, I think about my father have a Mac and he is not able to write a rule set. Apple understood this and decide to change this approach, and on the new release they create an application-based firewall. As you can imagine, I hate application-based firewall. Creating a rule set in this way, selecting the application and selecting which kind of traffic can flow in or out. This application can do everything towards internet. It's not a good rule, in my opinion. And think that to prevent, to take an application, change its name, and bypass firewall rules, those applications are signed. So an MD5 signature is created. You know, on macOS X application, the .app files are a directory, are a package that contains libraries, files, executables, icons, and so on. And inside that directory is put a file to verify the integrity of the application. This often creates some problem. On first release of Leopard, Skype was not working because Skype, for example, tried to check its own integrity when it started up, finding a new file inside that directory that was not provided but by the vendor, by the developer. Integrity was not satisfied, and so the application will not start. So if you wanted to use that, you had to cancel the file, launch the application, use it, and when you close the application, delete the files again and launch the application again. Not a good approach from my point of view. Thanks God they didn't remove IPFW from the operating system. It's still present and can be used with its RAL set, with its command, and so on. So it's still there, and as usual, is very flexible and very useful to protect your traffic, even because I don't want to say that application is authorized to talk to internet. I want to say traffic to internet must be allowed or denied to a specific host, to a specific port, and with IPFW I can impose such parameters. With the application-based firewall I cannot, and it's not good from my point of view. But as we said before, managing this rule set is something reserved for a system administrator, someone that knows TCP/IP and is able to write a complex RAL set complex, even if you are thinking about my own laptop, so not a server, not a complex infrastructure device. So especially for end customers in business market, having a guy to manage this can simplify operation. Simplify operation is really important, because doing things in a simpler way will reduce errors, will help in better understand what is happening, what I am doing, and having a simple tool usually means more users will use it, and I want everyone to use a firewall on their laptop, computers, and so on, to protect themselves. So there is an Italian project that is called Waterroof that think about managing the firewall in a simpler way. So it's a third-part application. It's free. It's open source. You can download it and use it to manage every aspect of your firewall, from rules to, for example, NIT or quality of service, and have statistics about which traffic is blocked, managing logs, and so on. And important for people that are not very used about creating rule set, exists a library of already written rules to apply, with an explanation of each rule. On that menu, you can choose the rule, you can read what that rule will do, and you can choose if to apply it or not. And with that number, you choose the order of the rules. In my opinion, for a wannabe technical guy that want to protect himself, such tool will permit to use a firewall even if he's not so skilled about creating a rule set. A drama about MQ6 is this protocol. This protocol is very friendly. He like to talk with other devices, other computers, make friendship, establish a relationship. He's like an Italian drunk guy in a bar. Talk to everyone. Hello, how are you? Which resources do you have? Let's talk together, and so on. When this protocol was written, they had some goals in mind that are very user-friendly. The idea was to give users the possibility to manage things without configuring very strange things. So I will say to everyone on my network, hello, I have these resources, please access to my sharing, and be advertised, I am a printer, I'm on your network, thank you printer, I want to print on you, and so on. Useful, as I said before, because you are on a new network, you can see the list of all installed printers and choose one. You are on a network, you open VNC application, and you get an exhaustive list of all VNC servers that are running Bonjour. Useful, I know, but I call this enumeration. For me, is not a very secure network. And in the past, we had some examples of worms replicating through Bonjour because it transports such information. Those are examples. You launch the VNC client, and those are static things that I inserted. This one is dynamic. I cannot change the IP address to which I am connecting. This voice appeared when I connected the cable. This is true for VNC. This is true, for example, for RDP servers. So I am on a new network. I don't need to run a map to discover resources. Resources are telling me, I am here, exploit me, exploit me. So usually it's a good idea to disable bonjour. Disable bonjour is not something that you can do from control panel. There is no list of services like this that can be disabled. It's needed to do it by command line through launch CTL command. When talking about security on Mac, usually people do a lot of questions about FileVault. FileVault is the mechanism that is provided by the operating system to manage encrypted volumes. And the important thing that, in my opinion, is very good, it's that it permits you to have your whole home directory transparently managed in an encrypted way. This means that when you log on, the encrypted volume is mounted automatically. Oh, I am anticipating another slide. Automatically mounted at login, and you work. A normal user to which someone have enabled FileVault protection is not aware of what is happening behind, but his files are secure. And I really believe in encryption. I usually have my data encrypted. For example, all files that belong to my company on my laptop are encrypted. But having the whole home encrypted is important because I think that also my bookmarks tell something about me, and I don't want people to see my bookmarks, porn site usually. And it's important for me that applications are written to use this mechanism. For example, all temporary files are written inside my temporary directory in my home and not on system temporary directory. In this way, I'm not disclosing information about me. I don't want to have my laptop steal or lost, and people looking at my photos would be terrible. I am not able to shot photos. And also provide the ability, it was on the previous slide, to create volumes inside other volumes, inside the USB key, to create encrypted CD or DVD, and so on. And having it on your default applications, having a guide to manage that is useful even for a non-technical user. And these encrypted volume are encrypted with IS 128, but you can choose to leverage it to 256 version. And on Leopard, the default image that is created is a sparse bundle disk image. We will talk about it in a few slides. So when a user is logged off and that volume is not mounted, if I look at file system, I found an empty home and I find a .user directory that is containing all the bundle or the sparse bundle. And the password, remember this information because it's important, the password of the volume is the same of the user account. This is needed because when I log in, that password will unlock my user first and then the volume to mount it for me. Sparse image, we are talking about a unique big file. If you create a 100 gigabyte file, you will have a unique 100 gigabit file of encrypted volume. And this is quite bad because being dynamic volumes, for example, every time that you unmount it, it is shrinked to save some space. And this kind of volume was the default until Tiger, the previous version. If you are using Tiger and migrate to Leopard, your volumes will not be migrate, but will conserved with this mechanism. Because the new mechanism, that is the sparse bundle, is working well, because we have not a huge file, but a lot of 8 megabits, megabytes files that compose the whole volume. Think that when you are shrinking, it's very, very, very faster, and even if you need to move it and so on. And it's the default since Leopard. Usually questions are about, does 5V provide any deniability? The answer is no. This feature is not talked for this tool. So anyone, when I say analyzer, could be an attacker, could be a forenser, could be anyone that have your computer and start investigating about data, will be able to understand that that is a 5V volume. So you are not in the position to say, encrypt what? I don't know it. They say you are using 5V. And obviously, talking about security, everyone is asking, but it's possible to violate 5V security. I will talk to you about a friend in Italy, Andrea Ghirardini, that I was thanking in one of the first slides. He's a forenser, and for his work, he's usually work with the judges that give him computers saying, find all data present on these computers. And when we were 2 releases ago of macOS 6, he received a laptop with an encrypted volume on it, and the judge was asking, I need all data inside the encrypted volume. It was a problem. Trying to attack the volume with a cryptographical attack is very time-consuming, resource-consuming, and he didn't have all that time. So he started investigating, he started searching, he started thinking how things work, and was able to find in an unused part of the swap space a copy of the user password and so of the volume, and he was able to mount the volume and give the judge all data need. He sent Apple some information about that, and a new patch was published to avoid that password go to the swap, as it's obvious. But it happened again with Tiger, so 10.4. The patch was applied. He was not able to find any password in the swap. He tried to search, but was not there. So start thinking about how the operating system works. Usually, when you enable the Windows shares on your computer, a pop-up appear. When pop-up appears, people say, yes, yes, yes. And the problem is that in that pop-up, you are warned that enabling Windows shares will create a second repository, a second database of users who are enabled to access Windows shares. And that database is managed in NTLM. You know, NTLM is not a very secure way to manage passwords. So he was not in need to retrieve the user password that was well managed, but was able to find the password here, the user password, and so the volume password. He's very unlucky. So I think it will happen to him to do the same in the future for Leopard. Nowadays, it didn't happen. But always remember, I will not talk about this, but you can find on internet all details about retrieving from memory a lot of informations. And information are not only about password, but maybe also something that you want it to be really encrypted in your home directory. And if you have your home directory encrypted, your swap space encrypted, someone can still be able to find something into your memory that obviously is not encrypted. Talking about passwords, obviously we must consider how to gain a root account local on the machine. We know that when you have physically the machine in your hand, is very simple to do something. You can extract their disk, connect it to other computers, and so on. But there are some conditions. For example, you want to run the operating system installed on the machine and find something, and so on. You can boot from CD, and there is a feature to reset root password or user passwords. Maybe it works, sometimes not. You are enabled to boot in single user mode, so have a particular access to the system that will provide you some function. The problem sometimes is that if you are able to retrieve the encrypted password, decrypt it usually take a long time, even if you are using John. And you have John on another computer and so on. So sometimes is not the right solution. You want to do that in 5 minutes because your colleague is in the bathroom and his computer is without screensaver. Obviously, when you are in a single user mode, you can change root password. But sometimes you don't want to change it. You want to know it, or you want to have a root account to do something on that machine. Maybe different from the user in use. This is the command to obtain the encrypted password from the user database. The interesting thing is that if you are in single user mode, you don't need to obtain the password, you don't need to change it, because if you erase that file is the file that which presence is checked when the machine boot up to understand if it's the first boot or a normal boot. If it's the first boot and that file is not present, we'll start that setup that asks you in which country are you, in which language you are using, your keyboard, which user account you want to create. The first user account created is the one that have administrative privilege on the computer. And looking inside that file, you will find all the information you entered when registering your computer, so your name, your address, and so on. The interesting part is the second one, when they take note about your answer about I want to receive news from Apple. They call it Apple spam. They ask, are our partner authorized to send a mail to you? Other spam. They wrote it in the file. So having the setup run will put you in the condition to have a new user account with administrative privilege, and the other account is still existing, and all his data, encrypted or in clear, doesn't matter, are still there, still available to any analysis, and you can obviously reconfigure anything on the machine, and is very, very fast. I discovered this while trying to create a new user account for a friend that bought a computer on eBay, had all data inside, but we had no password. Before erasing everything, we were just curious. So we were able to look at some photos or read some email. I'm an evil guy, I know, but I'm curious. So the first question is, can I protect myself from this? Yeah. That user can format or erase data, but if he wanted to use secure deletion, was it possible? There is something present in the operating system, or do I need to install some third-party application that to this? And secure deletion, how does it work? Yeah, it's native feature of the operating system, so exists third-party application that rely on these features, but you can do it without installing nothing. For example, when emptying the trash from the bar, you can only empty, but if you open the trash, you can secure empty trash. We will see what secure mean. And obviously, in the disk manager, there is also present an option to erase all the free space to prevent someone to retrieve files from file system. And the method used to delete is chosen by the user. Default is 7-pass for a normal user, no sensitive data could be really okay. If you have a lot of time to waste or a lot of beer to drink, you can use these methods. Is more effective, but obviously longer, so require a lot of beer to work. Obviously, sometimes someone wants to tune a lot of parameters of his computer to harden it, to obtain a more secure configuration than the one of the default provided by the vendor. And this is often not so easy because every program has his own parameters and his own syntax. If it's your first approach with a new operating system, things are in different places. You don't know name of the files. You have to do everything from command line, searching. Could be very time consuming and could be quite a nightmare. Good, because you learn a lot of things doing this. But if I have a simple tool to do that now, so my computer is secure now, and this tool could be open source, for example, or give me access to his way of working, I can identify which kind of parameters, programs, and files are changed. So I'm start learning. So my computer is secure now and not in 6 months, for example, because I want to use now my computer. And a very well written tool to do this is Bastille Unix. Was born as Bastille Linux because was working only on that platform. Now is working on Solaris, is working on HP UX, is working even on Mac OS X. So how this program works? As I said before, free and open source. So downloading this will permit me to look inside. First thing, we'll do an assess of my computer to identify what is my actual configuration and give me some feedbacks about things to change. So after the assess, I can decide to modify the parameters that, in my opinion, are important. If I am a technical guy, this will be very simple. Or if I am not a smart Mac, not still already a Mac OS X system administrator, I can use the hardened way, so the program will ask me something about how to configure application, firewall, file system, and so on, and will apply everything following my answers. And looking inside the files and the rule set and so on could be very useful. I usually arrive at the end of any tools I give, giving a list of tools that can be used to do something about the topic I presented. And here I presented the things that were inside the operating system. So I decided to try some third-party application that can do something, I will not say fun, but nice, but still useful. This program works like a car alarm. You can use it with the remote control, and your computer will do the same sound of car alarm. And if someone do this, a photo, a shot of the people moving your laptop is done and sent to you by email. I try this at CCC in December in Berlin, and I had my remote control batteries exhausted, like now, and it start because it sounds while doing the photos, and I was no more able to shut down. It was a nightmare. But it works very well. Another important thing is I usually put screensaver when I go to the toilet, but sometimes I forget about it. Or your phone rang, you stand up and start talking by the phone, and your computer is there, having the ability to execute something on your computer when your mobile phone is near the computer or far is very useful. For example, if I walk away from my laptop, I don't have the mobile phone and is locked in this moment, is not running this application. If I go outside the Bluetooth area of coverage of my laptop, screensaver will start automatically. So I try to mitigate the problem that I can forget things, I'm not perfect, and I can commit errors. So having tools that will help me, it's useful in my opinion. We are at conclusions, mainly the problem, as usual, is not about a single operating system or about a technology. The tools often exist and can be used. The problem is to know that tools exist, how to use them, and to use them, because it's difficult to remember always to do everything. And every security measure is a problem to manage. So we must choose the correct trade-off between security and being able to use our computer, and have to know all mechanisms that rely on our computers. FileVault is not inviolable, but knowing which limits exist will permit us to use it in the right way. For example, I use FileVault for my home, and real sensitive data are inside the TrueCrypt container inside the FileVault volume. So I use the different measures for different data. Bookmarks, for me, protect my bookmarks is important. I don't want anyone go on my porn site, but my company data is more sensitive, so I use different technologies. And knowing limits, it's really okay. I will leave a little list of sites where all these topics can be explained more deeply than here. And so I was fast enough to have some minutes to discuss with questions and so on. And thank you to have listened to me all this time. Questions? I will provide you a microphone.
Hello? Okay. Thanks.
Can we have light?
Thanks for the presentation. That was good and funny. Question. You said about this file that you can remove to, it was the Apple setup done file?
Yeah.
What would you suggest, maybe I missed it, but what would you suggest that administrator could do to
prevent
stop that problem? Yeah, because that's, I mean, once you have local access, it's over.
I was not able to find in Apple documentation anything to stop that. So I sent them an email. I hope they will provide some mechanism to stop this.
Can you tell us where it's pointing to? Like, is there a specific script that it's running? Is there
Can you talk slowly?
I'm sorry. I'm so excited about this stuff. I'm a geek. Yeah, thanks. Okay, so this Apple setup done, is it pointing to a script somewhere else? Perhaps we could disable that script or change the name of whatever it's pointing to?
Is something that is checked during boot up. So you should be able to find the process during boot up that search for it. I was not able to find it.
Okay.
Maybe someone else will be.
Okay.
Apple, of course, no.
Okay.
The microphone.
Thank you.
I know you want the microphone to take home with you.
I have a question, well, again on the same subject. Since it's quite easy to get a local root access on the Apple, having root access allows you to change the user password. Does this also change the password to that encrypted volume so you're able to access the volume, or...
is the first thing I tried. So I changed the password of the encrypted volume. So I logged off and I log in, hoping to unlock my user with the correct password and having a second question about now unlock the volume. The answer of my computer was, the volume is not usable. Goodbye. Login again. So it's not a path that we can run. But I hope again that talking about these kind of problems will convince developer to change this approach. Any more questions? So thank you. Enjoy your coffee.